Back here inside the studios on KATE 1450. We're talking sports on Kate Radio as we do every single 3 o'clock hour during the week. And we have over the phone Rich Wendorf, an Albert Lea High School Athletics Hall of Famer who was a basketball player, also ran track and cross country. We'll get into all of that in a little bit. But Rich, first off, thanks for calling in and joining us for a little bit here on the radio. I want to start by asking you a question kind of related to what we were just talking about before we went on air here. Just we discussed a little bit The Last Dance, the documentary with Michael Jordan, but with no sports actually going on to watch, there's been a whole lot of things that people have kind of had to fill in that void with. And, you know, usually 7 to 10 o'clock or whatever it is, you're watching a game, whether it's baseball, basketball, football throughout the day. Us sports guys have kind of reserved that slot. What have you been doing to kind of fill that time?
Well, I've been going for long walks in the evening, like everybody else. I have been trying to do a lot of Zoom meetings and contacts with my grandchildren in the evening, being that I cannot see them at this point in time due to the pandemic. Reading a few books, you know, and just trying to catch some of the old sports stories on ESPN that are airing right now, and you know, trying to remember what it was like back in the day when they used to show the Lakers and the Celtics playing, or the Bulls and the Pistons, and just trying to reminisce a little bit, remember how good basketball was back in that era in the NBA. And so I'm trying to fill the void in those respects, and of course, spend some time with my wife as well.
Yeah, got to spend some time there. Kids cut some time in for her as well, too. All right, Rick.
Right.
Well, I want to start by talking just about your journey in sports from the very beginning. When did you first get involved with athletics? We had your brother Jim on last week, and he discussed just kind of how the three of you were always involved in being competitive with each other. But just when did you first start getting involved with sports in an organized way, and even before that, too?
Oh, at a very young age, when you grow up with three other brothers and three sisters in the family. I came with a family of seven, and obviously, being that close in age or in proximity of age with each other, you know, we spent a lot of time out in the yards, backyards, you know, playing a variety of games, yard games usually, you know, back in that day. Things like a kickball or, you know, basketball or football, anything that we could do to keep our time up like that. Plus, furthermore, back in those days, there seemed to be a lot more neighborhood kids that used to gather and just play games, just impromptu games. Nothing organized, really. We would organize it ourselves. You know, we didn't have coaches. We didn't have youth leagues back in that day in the 60s and the 70s. And so we used to get together and ride our Schwinn bicycles, our Stingray bicycles with our baseball gloves and carry our baseball bats. And we used to go from park to park to park and used to try to play pickup baseball games with the other neighborhood kids in the city of Albert Lea. At that particular time, Albert Lea had park programs where you could actually congregate as kids and you could play games. And every neighborhood seems like when Albert Lea had a park program in proximity where you could go and just hang out and play all kinds of games, whether that was air hockey or floor hockey. I mean, just a variety of things. So I became acclimated to a variety of games early in my career. And then as I started to go through elementary school, I started to realize that basketball was the game that I really enjoyed the most. And then I started to play a lot of basketball and play in the backyard and do a lot of shooting and things of that nature, sometimes with neighborhood kids, but mostly by myself.
How do you feel like that shapes you differently early on, doing that kind of neighborhood kid thing instead of, well, like where they have now, where the YMCA will have a league for basketball players at 5-6 years old?
Well, if you made a mistake back then, if you struck out, for example, in baseball, you know, you didn't have a coach or a parent that would, you know, I'm sorry to say this, that would kind of holler at you or get on your case right now. I mean, you didn't have to worry about that repercussions from an audience. You know, you could just play freely, and you could make mistakes freely, and you realized yourself at the particular time that you made a mistake, and you could correct it yourself and or, you know, rectify it, as opposed to having somebody, you know, looking over your shoulder, per se. In addition to that, you know, you got to know a lot of kids in different neighborhoods. So by the time that you would go to junior high school, you know, you would already know who some of these other boys and girls were that you could you know, then connect with again, even though most of us went to different elementary schools throughout the city of Albert Lea. Once we got to the junior highs, and back in our day, we had two junior highs, Brookside Junior High and Southwest. You kind of knew who those other kids were because you played with them growing up, you know, in the elementary years. And so that connection was already built. You know, the foundation was already laid, so to speak.
You mentioned pretty early on you got in and realized that basketball was the number one for you. What was it about the sport that you kind of clung on to?
Well, I was really enamored with Wilt Chamberlain and the Lakers, Jerry West, in the early, mid-60s. I began to watch basketball games that were televised once a week on a certain channel, and it just so happened that the Lakers played a lot during the 60s, along with the Boston Celtics and some other marquee teams at that particular time. So I began to watch professional basketball in the 60s and then just picked it up and realized that, you know, it was a fun game. It was a game where it was team-oriented, yet you could do some things individually within the team. So it was the best of both worlds, in my opinion. You had the team concept, obviously, but individually you could make a huge difference, too, as well on the court.
And then at what point did you kind of realize that you had an opportunity to be really, really good at what you were doing on the basketball court, kind of on the level above what everyone else was doing?
I think that time for me, you know, looking back at my career, I think I was in ninth grade. I think ninth grade was a turning point for me. You know, in junior high, back in those days, you know, you went to junior high and you were in seventh, eighth, and ninth grade. It was three grade levels. And in ninth grade, I had gotten a little bit taller, so I started to kind of stretch out a little bit. But I realized that I had a special gift, a talent, and I had a passion for the game. And I think ninth grade was the turning point for me. I think that was a decision that I really came to terms with before I got into high school, because high school back then was 10, 11, 12, that I was determined after ninth grade that I was going to make the high school team. And I became very motivated. Plus, in addition to that, the Albert Lea sports was really taking off at that time in the early 70s. You know, we had class sizes. The high school had class sizes, nearly 600 in a class. And Albert Lea was very competitive at all levels of sports, whether it was wrestling or basketball or hockey or football or baseball. They were just very competitive. So it was a great time to grow up in Albert Lea because of the athletic opportunities. And in addition to that, I was very fortunate to have a lot of good coaches that had you know, inspired me and motivated me and made a big difference in pursuing basketball as a sport.
What was that story like for you after you made the decision, hey, I'm going to make this high school team, up until when it actually happened? What was the process for you?
I started to train by myself a lot. You know, back then, you know, you could go into the gyms and you could play pickup basketball, which I did a fair number of times. But I found out that I enjoyed it much more if I did a lot of training by myself, whether that was shooting baskets for hours on end at a local park, and or I began to, you know, experiment with lifting weights and doing, at that time, well, now they call it plyometrics, but at that time I was doing a lot of agility drills because I was trying to work on my coordination a little bit. I realized I wasn't perhaps going to be the strongest player in the court, but I wanted to make sure that I had the agility or I had the foot speed where I could go around people if I had to. I just wasn't big enough to go through people, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think the turning point for me was the fact that I trained a lot by myself. I used to run around Fountain Lake grilling a basketball. You know, most people would jog around Fountain Lake right now. I run around Fountain Lake. It's a beautiful lake, as you know. But I used to run and dribble everywhere. You know, whether I was going to around Fountain Lake or going down to a park or going to visit someone, I just seemed to always have a basketball in my hand.
So then do you go on and you make that team? Is it on your sophomore year you make it?
No, I didn't make the varsity my sophomore year. I played B squad. Back in that day, you played, you know, there was B squad for 10th graders. There was JV for juniors and or seniors that didn't start on the A squad. The team configuration was different back then now than it is. They rarely moved people up back in that day, and they didn't have to, quite frankly. Because when you have class sizes of 600, you've got a lot of athletes to choose from. And at that particular time when I was growing up in the early, mid-70s, there was a lot of competition. There were a lot of good players, a lot of good athletes, period. So the coaches back then in those days, they really had to pick. They really had a nice way of selecting people in terms of talent because there were so many talented players. So it was rare for you to be moved up to a varsity position, even as a sophomore. And so I played on the B squad or 10th grade team throughout the rest of the year. And I was glad I did, quite frankly, because I played a lot. I scored a lot. I did a lot of good things. And I made a lot of good connections with my classmates and my basketball players in 10th grade. And so that foundation was really deepened in 10th grade. And then when I got to be a junior, I had to beat out three other senior boys to make that one position. And so I was the only junior that started on that team in 74-75. And there were four seniors that started. And so I broke through my junior year as a starter, which even at that time was rare, frankly.
Was there a learning curve there then for you, just trying to get along with everybody else who, I mean, it's only 1 year older than you, but still having that first time experience, how long did it take to kind of adjust?
Well, for me, it didn't take long to adjust at all, quite frankly, because I always felt that I was on par with the seniors. I always felt as far as talent wise, I was right with them. I felt that, quite frankly, I had more passion for the game than some of them, many of them. So it wasn't much of a transition for me to make the team and start. I think it was more a transition for some of the seniors that I beat out to make that starting team. I think the four seniors that started besides myself, I think they realized, you know, perhaps maybe watching me as a sophomore, they realized that I was coming, for lack of better words. And they realized that I was able to help them win, you know. And so they accepted me very well, at least the starters did. And then in time, I think the other seniors figured it out and they accepted you too. But it takes some time when you got a youngster or newcomer that comes in and they break through that starting lineup. You know, there's that pro and con in terms of how people look at you. But I think for me, it wasn't an issue for me personally. I was pretty, frankly, I was pretty good about doing it. You know what I mean? I played team ball with the rest of them. I was fortunate to lead the team in scoring that year. So, you know, a lot of good things happened team-wise, but there's some individual things that happened to me that really propelled me into my senior year as well. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you made yourself definitely – you made everybody else aware that you belonged there. Over the 2 years, you set a career scoring record for the school, the single season scoring record. You were named Big Nine Conference scoring champion after averaging 23 points per game as a senior and first team all conference. You ended up to be all state. What do all those accolades mean to you then and now looking back on it as well? Is there any one that kind of just sticks out as something that was really special to you at the time? And again, now looking back on it?
Well, first of all, I was very fortunate to be the recipient of some of those awards. I certainly could not have done it without my teammates. I mean, even though they're individual awards you just named, but you know, I was very fortunate to have some very good teammates that were very unselfish in passing the ball to me and in helping me move up. The one award that I'm probably most proud of was was when I was named to three all-state teams for basketball, which had never been done with any other player before me. And at that time, they had three all-state basketball teams. They had the Minneapolis Star Tribune team, the St. Paul Pioneer Press team, and then they had the WCCO all-state team. So there were three all-state teams, and there were only a handful of players in Minnesota that made all three teams together. One of them you may know, Kevin McHale. Mm-hmm. Was the same year as I was. Okay, so that's probably the one that I'm the most proud of, Certainly when you win a scoring title, there's something to say about that, too. I mean, it's something to kind of hang your hat on a little bit, too, because you realize that you were probably, you know, one of the best players of the Big Nine at that particular time. And so that's another award that I'm pretty proud of. But it was, for me, it was no doubt it was being named as a three All-State team.
Now, while you're doing all that, what role did cross-country and track play in all of this? You mentioned how you'd just run around the lake, and wherever you went, you'd have a basketball dribbling with you, but you also took part in those other sports. When did that get involved, and how did that help you on the basketball court, too?
Well, my older brother ran cross-country, so I kind of followed in his footsteps. I really enjoyed running, and so it was a natural for me to run cross-country. I wasn't built for football, and back in that day, most of the kids my age played football, and then there were a handful of us that ran cross country in the fall. I really enjoyed running distance, and so that to me was just a natural because my brother did it, and running just came naturally to me. And as far as track is concerned, again, I'll go back and. Some kids played baseball, some kids ran track, a few kids played golf and tennis, that sort of thing. But track was very important to me because it was the one sport that I could, participate in but didn't feel the pressure. You know what I mean? When you played basketball at the level I did, fortunately, I was very fortunate, you felt the pressure of winning or scoring or rebounding. The expectations were pretty high. The bar was pretty high. Where in track, they had expectations were there, but it wasn't the same. So it was more of a down sport for me, especially after a basketball season. So it was more of a fun sport. I didn't run cross country my senior year. I had broken my leg this spring in my junior year running track, so I had a stress fracture. So I couldn't really run in the summer. So what it ended up is that I didn't run cross country in the fall, my senior year. And I think really, when you think back at it, I think that's more of a blessing because I really started to train really quite hard for basketball. I mean, I really put the time in then. Mm-hmm. I wasn't running in cross country anymore, and I spent more time working out for basketball. So in some respects, it was kind of unfortunate that I broke my leg. But in others, it's like, maybe there's a reason for this. As corny as that may sound, but I think having the time that I could train exclusively for basketball before the season of my senior year, I think that put me in a level that I was able to achieve at a higher rate, perhaps had I not had that time to practice and work out by myself.
Mm-hmm. So after high school, you end up going to Rochester Junior College and then Winona State University as well. What are the differences that you saw, or I guess kind of the jump that you had to make in going from the high school game to the college game when you were there?
Well, actually, I went to the University of Montana first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at your I'm looking at your Hall of Fame induction page here. They got it wrong.
they got the other two right. I went to the University of Montana first, and I wanted to, I went out there for schooling, obviously. Education was very important to me. But I also wanted to be the first player in Overleaf history to play Division I basketball. And so I went to Montana first, University of Montana first. Then I came back to Minnesota after about a year. And then I played 1 year at Rochester Junior College. And then I went to Winona State University and finished it up there. So college, it was a different level of ball. And playing division ball was no easy task, I can tell you that. I mean, it was very, very competitive and very hard. I'm glad I tried it. I'm glad I, did it for a while. But I came back to Minnesota because I kind of wanted to be around my family again, and I kind of wanted to see some of my old friends and that sort of thing. So I couldn't go into really another four-year university. I had to, have a year of transition somewhere, and I didn't want to just stay and not go to college for a year. So I enrolled at Rochester Junior College and spent 1 year playing ball there, and then went out to Winona State and finished it up there the last 2 years. So college basketball taught me a lot of things. It taught me about people, I mean, I played with a lot of unique people, you know what I mean? And a lot of other great athletes, but just different people from different backgrounds. So it taught me a lot about appreciating people that had different backgrounds than I did. And it also taught me how to really get along with people that, you know, came from different socioeconomic backgrounds than I did too. So it was a really a learning experience for me. But I was fortunate enough to have some success at the college level as well. And that's how it ended.
You went into there just a little bit about how the sports world can teach you other lessons well outside of just what sports itself brings to people. What are some of those other things? What are some of the things that you value most that you were able to take away from your time playing basketball, running track, cross country, whatever it is, being involved in sports that you think you're able to take and bring into the real world and real life when you were ending up, finishing up and going into, well, the real world now?
Right, right. The biggest thing it told me was to be able to keep my poise under pressure, to be able to deal with pressure methodically and not panic, and to be able to work through it. And so poise is the big word I use that athletics taught me. You know, when I've spent my career in education, there's been a lot of times that I've experienced some very challenging situations. And I would like to think that playing athletics helped me get through some of those challenging situations in dealing with, you know, students and or parents and or just things that happen in education. And poise is the big word for me, you know, keeping your cool under pressure. That's what taught me. Teamwork, obviously, you know, being able to work collaboratively with people in your career right now, or having had that opportunity for me the last 4 years to work in education, you know, with other educators, you know, the whole collaborative team effort of trying to accomplish something. Obviously, when you play team sports, you're gonna. That's a big takeaway for people as well. And I think just that hard work, stay at it attitude, that you can accomplish anything if you work hard enough at it. And sometimes the answer doesn't come right away, and you've got to figure out how to arrive at an answer to whatever issue you're dealing with. And it's no different than really when I used to play basketball back in the day in high school in particular, when I would have two people guarding me, trying to stop me, and I had to figure out how I was going to score, what I was going to do differently, and that took me a half to figure that out. You know, it not forced me to think, but it allowed me to think through how to problem solve, you know, through those situations, not only in the basketball court, but just on the job, period, in my career. So those are the big takeaways that I've had from athletics.
Do you have any advice for athletes coming up now who are maybe getting ready to get into any sort of sports, basketball or otherwise, or high school athletes in there now, for what they can do to make sure that they're taking advantage of it all to the best of their abilities?
Well, first of all, if you're not having fun, don't play it at a competitive level. Because I think one thing that has happened, in my opinion, is that I think that with the way sports have evolved through the years, it's no fault of anybody, it's just the way the system is that sometimes, you know, we've become too organized, you know, we've become too rigid, and we've allowed people that really don't know the game or understand, you know, child psychology and how kids operate to be able to influence them in perhaps maybe a negative way. So if you can't have fun or won't have fun doing it, if you don't enjoy it, don't do it. Secondly, I would not encourage anybody to specialize in sports, especially at an early age. I think the fact that I ran cross country for a while and track helped me athletically in my basketball career. So I would encourage people to at least up until their sophomore year, perhaps. I know it's different now, but to at least, you know, if you're going to play sports, you know, play at least at a minimum two sports, if not three, all the way up until, you know, whenever you decide that you want to specialize. But don't specialize when you're in fifth and sixth grade and just play one thing. You know, to me, I think that is that's very unfortunate. You know, I'll give you a case in point. let's just say that you played baseball your whole career and you're a senior and you played baseball. Well, what happened with the pandemic? Baseball season was called off this spring, obviously. You know, so you never know what's going to happen with that. And that's an exception. I understand that. You know, we weren't counting on a pandemic. But think about that. If you were just a one-sport play, spring sports person, whether it was golf or baseball or even track, those seniors didn't have the opportunity to do that this year. So, you know, I think you've got to have a sport where you can step back and you're not maybe competing at the same level. I didn't compete at the same level in cross country and track as I did in basketball. You know, basketball was at a different level for me. As I said here early in our conversation, cross country prepared me for it, you know, physically for basketball. But basketball was my main sport, but track was my fun sport. That was a sport where I could kind of step back a little bit and not feel the pressure. I enjoyed basketball. It was a passion of mine. But when you play at that level, there's going to be an amount of pressure that you're going to feel and stress. And although I welcomed it at the time, and I certainly don't regret it, obviously, but it was there a lot. And to be able to have a secondary sport where you could step back and just still play and enjoy it, but realize that there's not going to be pressure for you to score 23, 24, 25 points a game and get 15 rebounds and that sort of thing. You know, I think everybody needs that step-back sport.
Well, Rich Wendorf joining us here on KATE 1450, former Albert Lea basketball player and Albert Lea High School Athletics Hall of Famer now. Rich, we thank you for taking the time. We've been asking everyone this question before we let them go. With everybody inside and not having a whole lot to do, what are some recommendations from you as far as like sports movies, books, documentaries, TV shows, anything like that? Something that you could recommend to somebody else if they're looking for something to do?
Oh, golly gee whiz. Well, there's a lot of books out there, obviously, you can look at. I mean, buying and purchasing. You know, like I said, on TV, you're limited. You got ESPN, obviously, is putting out some good things right now. I keep busy. If you can't get to the gym, which you can get to right now, or get to the basketball court or the baseball field or wherever, if you can't get to those places where you can't, you know, be able to play right now or practice, there are things that you could do inside the four walls of your home. There are things physically you can do to work out. And to be able to use this time and look at doing some things differently with your workouts. You know, like, for example, good old push-ups, good old sit-ups, you know, things of that nature that sometimes, you know, we don't think about because, obviously, you know, these fitness rooms are much more sophisticated than they were back in my day, but there's just some simple things you can do in your home or if you're going for long walks to still stay active and work out. But in addition to that, take some time and sit back and dream a little bit. Dream about what you want to do and what you want to become. And then when you put the dream together, then start to sit down and take out a piece of paper, as corny as this sounds, and start to write down exactly what you need to do to accomplish your dream athletically. And then put that into action. And then just wait for the day when this pandemic is over and you can get outside or get in the gym or in baseball field or wherever you're going to play, and then start executing your plan.
I love that, Rich. Rich Wendorf joining us here on KATE 1450. We thank you again for taking a few minutes out of your day to tell us your sports story here on Kate Radio. And hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you again at some point in the future as well. Again, Rich Wendorf joining us here on Kate. Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for... Thank you for your time, and also remember, go Tigers. Here we are, Tigers.